It is alive, I think. It's usually socks. I quite like getting socks. Margaret's hand shot up. Actually, Margaret's being a bit prophetic today. Do you want to tell us what you got? Give us a twirl.
I got three jumpers and a hat. This one says love.
Yeah, and it's made out of
cashmere.
So really nice jumper, special jumper, a gift. Yeah. Any others? Scarves. They're a Christmas one, aren't they? Well, in our house. Our household this year, it was the year of gran jumpers. So my mother knit my three children, they're the ones in the middle, all identical jumpers. They got to choose which colour beforehand. And that's my nephew and niece either side. And they got them, these are Christmas jumpers, but you can see Daniel at the bottom. They all had to wear them, but Daniel had already gone. So we've photoshopped him on. So that's why it looks a bit weird. But they were all knit with love by my mum for her grandchildren. Yes. So we're talking about clothing today. I wonder how the process of getting ready in the morning happens for you. What do you put on when you've had your cornflakes or porridge? Or maybe you do it beforehand. I've got a pretty standard routine. I'm fairly unimaginative with my clothes and about getting dressed. I dress the same usually. My husband, John, dresses the same. He gets his shirts ready for, family secrets, shirts ready for the week at the weekend. So there's five black shirts hanging up in the kitchen. It's always the same. Joel has to wear a uniform most of the time, obviously, but would rather not. For Zoe, she's very ethically aware, so she'll only wear fair trade clothes. And Daniel is an outdoor-y person, so it's always very functional. Some people take hours, don't they? And others seconds to get ready. Joel's got it down to a fine art in the mornings, getting ready for school. 10 minutes, you get him up and he can do it really quickly to have maximise the time in bed. Teenage girls spend hours on the makeup, don't they, sometimes? And others go for perfection. And my son Joel always has to not have any creases in his clothes. And some of us will just throw anything on. So that's me, I'm afraid. So what did you put on this morning? What are you wearing? Some people are quite identifiable by their clothes, aren't they? You can see them in the distance and you know who it is without actually seeing their features. If there's a red coat around the site, I know it's John, and a cap. And if a mustard blob appears, and so on. And Jane's a good one for spotty dresses, so she's here. So, tartan, yeah. So, of course, there are different times and occasions which determine what we're going to wear and what clothing we're going to wear, like sports clothes or cocktail party dresses. I don't do that much of that these days. If we see a uniform, we recognise people for what they do. Some are a welcome sight, like the nurse or the policeman, and others not so welcome, like the traffic warden at the bottom there. Some clothes identify us with a certain job or a place or a school or a football team. And we put clothes on sometimes to assume a certain role. Other times we are dressed to impress. They have this thing called the best dressed man in 2018. Does anybody know who that might be? It's not you, no, sorry. So it's Idris Elba. He's an actor, isn't he? Lady Gaga and Meghan Markle were on the list for best dressed women for last year. So a lot of people dress to be admired or to express themselves. It can be an outward expression. Some people want to be a goth or something like that, don't they? And have you ever felt dressed or overdressed, underdressed or overdressed? gone to a party and not been wearing the right things. I once went on a field trip. I took a bunch of students, and it was a 7-mile walk around the North York Moors, and despite having been told several times, one girl turned up with sandals and pure white trousers, so she was inappropriately dressed. And we dress sometimes to identify with a group or give ourselves an identity. It's something we've all got to do. We've all got to put clothes on in the morning. It can be very intentional. We can usually choose, in our country at this time. And it's not just clothes, is it? It's makeup, perfume, jewellery. It's clear that our clothes can reveal our character. They can reveal who we belong to, where we belong, status, values, and priorities. Now, the Bible talks about clothing at various points. It gives us helpful insights into our relationship with God. Just like my mum knit all those jumpers for the kids that were specially just for them, so our Father God gives us clothes to wear. He gives his children clothes to wear. He does that practically, but I'm thinking more about spiritual clothing. God's more concerned about our spiritual or inner clothes. In fact, Jesus warns us about seeing people from the outside, doesn't he? We can look at businessmen and think they're really efficient and skillful, but they might be corrupt. We could look at dog collars and assume somebody's very righteous, but they may not be. Or somebody in their Sunday best, you might think, is more godly. I used to have to dress up in my Sunday best when I was little. I used to have to wear a skirt and polish my shoes. And that's probably why I don't now, because I was forced to when I was little. But the Lord does not look at outward appearances, but at the heart. A Christian isn't somebody who somebody who obeys the church rules. It's about having a new heart, a new life, and being a new creation of God in the Spirit. And somebody who has the knowledge and experience of being made clean. So we're talking about spiritual clothes, the inner self. When we come into a relationship with God, the old clothes have to go and you get a new set of clothes. It's sort of from your heart and your mind. So instead of the bad attitudes, the sin, we mentioned about shame and guilt and self this morning, you get a new life, a new set of clothes. You may have seen some of the makeover programs on TV where someone's the target of a makeover team and supposedly turn from a frumpy, plain person to a very glamorous one. But sometimes if you've watched these things, you can see it's very superficial. It looks good for a while, but the inside isn't changed. People default back to their old selves. But the transformation of God is meant to be wholly life-changing and transforms us from the inside out. As we become Christians, a transformation occurs. And one of the most amazing truths we see is put in Isaiah 61. The passage there describes what God does for us through Jesus. And it says, "He has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in robes of righteousness." Each one of us, as a Christian, is given robes of righteousness. Let's get a picture of what these robes might look like. They're pure and clean. They're given to us by God. We don't earn them. It's a free gift. When we become children of God, we get a new identity. We're rescued. We're lifted up. One person described it as going from pit to palace. He dresses us with clothes to match this. He takes all the grot and filth and the bad stuff that was our life with its shame and guilt and gives us new clothes. There's a picture of this in Zechariah where Joshua was stripped of all his filthy rags, his sin, and given a new robe. And when we become Christians, our identity is that of the child of a king. I am a child of God. Our Father is our royal king, and we can live out of that identity. I run a parent and toddler group here on a Thursday, and we have a dressing up box. And sometimes the little girls will put on princess dresses, and you can see that they're both, or two or three of them, are acting out being princesses. They do the talk, they talk differently, they're walking around, and they're actually being princesses for that, those moments in the group. But we don't have to pretend. We are royal children. Sometimes God gives us names, and one name he's given me is Warrior Princess. And it helps me to think of myself in robes, those white robes, walking tall, with authority and poise of a princess. I sometimes imagine that. God's given us imagination. And just imagining that helps you take it on board to put it on. And we can live in such a way that displays who we really are. We are God's royal children. That's who we really are. We act differently with particular clothes on. They help us do and act out of that place. It says also in the Bible that we're ambassadors for Christ and we need to imitate and reflect him. So it's about acknowledging who we really are and living in the light of that and being him to the world. I missed one out there. He gives us also robes of beauty to replace the ashes of a dead life. That's in the Isaiah passage as well. And garments of praise to take place of a life devoid of his love. There's a story Jesus tells to emphasise how God sees us as well. I'm going to get Brian to read that one out.
Yes, this is from Luke 15 and is the parable of the lost son. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he'd spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandal on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found.' So they began to celebrate.
So this is quite a well-known story of the prodigal son. And we maybe sometimes tend to think of the part where the father sees the son and sees him in the distance and runs to him and embraces him. And that's really true. That's what the father does as we come back to him. The prodigal's admitted his wrongdoing, acknowledged that he's worthy, and he asks for forgiveness. But the bit that I was going to focus on is the next bit. It says, the father says, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. So he gets a robe. And this was to tell the son that his position was being restored. That's who he was, and he was being restored. And it's also a demonstration of the father's complete approval and love and mercy, as well as his protection. So he gives him this robe. And then he puts a ring on his hand. And again, this is a symbol of great affection and being placed in an office or authority. He's recognized as a son of the father. It's also a sign of wealth and dignity. The son has all that the father has. And sandals on his feet. The prodigal returned home without shoes. He was poor, and he expected to be just taken back as a servant. But he's given sandals and not treated as a servant, but a son with all entitlements. And those sort of things are for us as well. As we come back to God, he really welcomes us and restores us in that way, with a robe, a ring, and sandals. So, we have royal garments to put on. Do we put them on? Are we wearing them today? The next question I was going to ask is, who are you wearing? I don't know if you watched the Golden Globes. Did you watch it last week, anybody? I didn't, but I saw it on Facebook and stuff. And one of the preoccupations of these red carpet events is, who is so-and-so wearing? That's what they say. Who are they wearing? Who are you wearing? It originally came from Joan Rivers, I think, at a Hollywood event. And it's all about labels and designers. But the Bible says, clothe yourselves in the Lord Jesus Christ. It tells us who we should be putting on or wearing. I've got two more short passages. One is Romans. I think Hilary's got that one to read out. Yeah, thanks. It tells us to put on the armour of light, but it also says, clothe yourselves in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Brian's got one from Colossians as well.
Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. However, there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Thank you. So, as Christians, we are in Christ. We are united with him in his death and resurrection. And our life is hidden with Christ in God. And these two passages have said, clothe yourself with Christ. And this is more specific in this last passage. It says, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience. We have to put on Christ by trusting in who he is and what he's done. But we're also called to put on the character and qualities and virtues that identify us as children of God. And this putting on of new clothes is maybe an active, very active daily thing. How do we do it? Just as we're choosing to put clothes on in the morning, is there a point in the mornings where we can choose to put on Christ, put on his love, and put on these different attributes: compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, and so on. Can we spend a moment imagining we're putting them on, clothing ourselves? If we do that in the mornings, sometimes we find ourselves acting out of these characteristics of Christ. It's maybe an active thing to do, start doing. And it's about love primarily. Margaret's jumper there has got love, love, love on. Can we imagine putting on love in the morning? So just to ask, are we wearing the right or the wrong clothes? To give some thought to what we're wearing spiritually. Maybe there's time to think about what you are carrying around. What do people see when they see you? Do they see love or gentleness or humility? Is that the most striking thing that they see? Or could it be something else like self-pity, anger, shame, things like that? Is it time to exchange some of your old clothes? Take off one set and put the new set on. Is it time today to do that? And can you try and do that every morning when you wake up? I must daily put on clothes, his clothes. Whoops, I haven't gone to that yet. The other thought is that we are not our own. It says in the Bible, in Christ, we are not our own. It's like, I suppose it's like being a soldier where you, in the army, you've got to, or a police officer or something like that, you've got to obey your commanding officer. And while you're at work, you have to do as your commander says. You are not your own. Are you wearing the uniform of Christ? It says also in the Isaiah passage that we are created for the display of his splendour. Are we displaying Christ? Or have we defaulted, even though we might have given our lives to God, have we defaulted to old habits and choices? And it's also possible to hide our new selves. There was a story I came across, and the story was a young police cadet was taking his final exam for the police academy, and he was confronted with this question. You're on patrol in the outer city when an explosion occurs in a gas main in a nearby street. On investigation, you find that a large hole has been blown in the footpath and there's an overturned van nearby. Inside the van, there's a strong smell of alcohol. Both occupants, a man and woman, are injured. You recognise the woman as the wife of your chief of police, who's away in the USA. A passing motorist stops to offer you assistance and you realise he is the man who is wanted for armed robbery. Suddenly, a man runs out of a nearby house, shouting that his wife is expecting a baby, and the shock of the explosion has made the birth imminent. Another man is crying for help, having been blown in the adjacent canal by the explosion, and he can't swim. Describe in a few words what action you would take. This was posed to the man, and the young man thought for a moment, picked up his pen and wrote, I would take off my uniform and mingle with the crowd. So, question, are your God clothes visible? Are your colours nailed to the mast as you're out and about? Does your Christian walk cross over to all areas of life? And do people see love on you? Is it visible when you walk into the room? So, what are you wearing this season? Let's just close in prayer. Father God, I thank you that when we become yours, you make us new. You give us a new life. We're a new creation with a new set of clothes. I pray that you would help each of us recognize and take on board, put on the robes of righteousness that you give us, that we see ourselves as clean, restored, forgiven. I pray that you'd help us put on the right clothes every day too, Lord, that we would make the right choices. I pray that you'd give us the desire to clothe ourselves with you. Help us to be clothed with humility, compassion, kindness, and most of all, love. And I pray that you would make us visible in the world. Help us to reflect you, Jesus, in our families, communities, at work, wherever we go. Amen. So that's the end of the service.